From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's turn. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, HRN Nation, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I am in sunny South Florida getting ready for an action-packed day of stakes races led by the Express Bet Fountain of Youth. We'll see if Irish War Cry can stay undefeated through four starts and take the next steps towards the first Saturday of May in Louisville, Kentucky. But that's not the only big one on the card. Nine stakes at Gulfstream. Of course, Mike Penna and Jude Feld are down in Garrison, Savannah, Barbados, getting ready for the Grade 1 Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. And we'll have plenty of storylines from Garrison Savannah today. The Equine Forum loaded up with some interviews Mike and Jude did earlier this week in their what has become annual trip down to Barbados. Producer to the Stars, Lee Delapina, is back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios. And with that, speaking of Barbados, we will send it down to Mike Penna, who is live in Garrison Savannah. Take it away, Mike.
Big A, thanks so much. We appreciate all the help with getting us on the air here this morning from South Florida. We are indeed, for the second consecutive year, positioned at the top of the grandstand here in Barbados at Garrison Savannah, which is located in the capital city of Bridgetown. It is a gorgeous morning for the 36th Barbados Gold Cup Day, and we are happy to have you with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network for the next couple of hours. We will check back in with the Big A right around 9 o'clock Eastern time, so you'll be able to kind of get some more insight into what's going on in Florida. And with the Fountain of Youth Stakes, we'll talk about the Gotham as well as the road to the Kentucky Derby makes a couple of stops around the country later today. But for now, it's all about the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. And I mentioned being at the top of this grandstand. Now, the grandstand here at Garrison Savannah is very much like something you might see at a county fair back in the United States. 10 rows of seats, that's it. It takes you 35 steps to get to the top of the grandstand, which is exactly where we are positioned. We are looking directly at the paddock and the finish line. The paddock here at the Garrison is located just inside the racetrack on the infield side. There are a row of bushes that have pink and purple and orange flowers along the backside of that paddock. It separates it from the infield. There are flags of 11 nations flying along the right side of the paddock, and the Barbados Gold Cup signage and banners around this area and throughout the racetrack are pink. So in that respect, it looks much more like what you might see at Churchill Downs on Kentucky Oaks Day. And the infield, well, it has about 100 white, blue, and red tents and pop-up canopies, which gives the Garrison the look of Kentucky Derby Day. This is a special day, the biggest day of racing in Barbados. And JT, we are back again. Welcome, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, my favorite place on earth. And what a great description. Wow, that was impressive.
Well, it is. It's really, really cool. This is one of the trips that we make through. And people have been tweeting to us and Facebooking us all week and saying, oh, wow, tough life. Let me tell you something. We hit the ground running. We have been doing nothing but getting ready for this show, and it is going to be spectacular. This morning up until 10 o'clock Eastern, this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern from 4 to 6 with the race coverage. Going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the most fun trip we have all year, but it's also probably the most work. We've got a lot of things to do once we get here and catch the interviews of the participants and stuff, but it's just a fantastic week here at Garrison Savannah. We've really enjoyed ourselves. We've met some new people. We've reacquainted with the old friends, and of course the people of Barbados are outstanding. It's just a great place to be.
Yeah, I literally almost hit the ground running, or hit the ground. Well, I was trying to run, actually.
I try not to hit the ground.
Yeah. Well, I tried not to as well, and luckily I avoided, well, near death. It was a near-death experience on our first night here in Barbados. Had nothing to do with the rum that might have been in the system at that point as we were walking from our apartment to the restaurant for dinner. Now, if you've never been to Barbados, everything is done on the opposite side of what you would typically do in the United States, meaning that you drive on the other side of the road, you go in a different direction. Everything in the car is on opposite sides, with the windshield wipers being on the left, the blinker being on the right. Everything is different. Well, we walked across the street for dinner that first night, and the girls, Michelle and your wife, Gretchen, went first, no problem. They crossed the road flawlessly, right? Like a champion in a game of Frogger, right? And then I went to go out to the road following them, and for some reason, there was a car coming. I looked to the right, which is where you would look in the United States, never looked to the left. And this car was coming. It was one of those van buses that they have here, and it was coming. Had to be, what, 10 yards from me? You thought I was dead.
I thought so. I thought I was going to watch you just go flying. But somehow the van avoided you. You avoided the van, and we were able to have dinner that night. Otherwise, it's going to be the chefette, I'm afraid.
If we can get, you were having dinner regardless. The trip was going on without me. The
well,
show must
it was
go
your
on.
Wife's birthday, so we had to take her out. We would have just left you in the street.
Yeah, that was quite the hair-raising experience. Last year on the first day, you remember we were driving here, and you had driven on the opposite side of the road for the first time in quite some time when we were coming here, and you hit the curb, popped a tire.
Right.
Right.
Typical
so if we just tourist, get past,
bad news.
If we get past the first day in Barbados, we can survive this place.
Knock on wood, everything's gone according to Hoyle. I was so happy when I passed that spot where I popped a tire last year. I go, well, I'm already ahead of the game. But, yeah, it's a great experience here. And, you know, we tell people all the time, you know, to come to Barbados. And we've had a lot of listeners from our show, you know, come down here and enjoy it. It's a great experience. And the racing here is a lot of fun. It's a tremendous sport here. You can't make a lot of money purse-wise, but the people here take a lot of pride in their horses and their racing. Barbados has produced some fantastic jockeys over the years that have come to North America and do well. And Patrick Husbands, who we'll hear from a little later in the show, everybody knows who he is in the United States and Canada. So a really great place to be, to race, and to enjoy the day. And, of course, the weather here, year-round, 74 degrees on the average, and can't beat it.
The post time for the 36th running of the Barbados Gold Cup this afternoon is 4:55 Barbados time. That's 3:55 Eastern. Our coverage kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern time. You can listen on Sirius XM 83 and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. The coverage also going to include Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason, who will be set up in Florida to bring you coverage of the Fountain of Youth Stakes and many of the races on the undercard, including the Devona Dale. So many great races on that program. You're going to hear all of them later today, 3 o'clock Eastern time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude, in terms of the race, the Barbados Gold Cup, we're going to talk more about this throughout the first hour. You're going to hear interviews that we did throughout the week with so many of the major players involved, including people like jockey Patrick Husbands and super owner from the United States, Ken Ramsey, Robert Pierce, who trains the defending champion, Dorsett. You're going to hear from Nolan Ramsey. That's right, the grandson of Ken Ramsey, who is here with the horses that he is going to saddle later today for trainer Mike Maker. Nolan worked with Mike for the past couple of years, and we get a chance to catch up with Nolan for a fun visit. You're also going to hear from trainer Elizabeth Dean. She's a 3-time Gold Cup winner, and she is the first and only female ever to saddle a winner of the Barbados Gold Cup. Second half of the show is Anthony Stabile from Florida, Jose Ortiz. We had that interview with Jose earlier this week. You're going to hear from him talking about Practical Joke in the Fountain of Youth. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream will be here. And then at the end of the show, we'll go down the road to the Kentucky Derby. So a lot of things to look forward to. We are live from Garrison Savannah, Barbados, and we're back with more right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina's Frank Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with three black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by five in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Adina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit flairstrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Racing fans, we are now just 1 week away from the 80th running of the Grade 1 $750,000 Santa Anita Handicap on Saturday, March 11th. With special early first post time on Big Cap Day at 12 noon, we'll also have the Grade 2 San Felipe, the final major stepping stone to the $1 million Santa Anita Derby, as well as two additional Grade 1 stakes, the Triple Bend and the Frankie Kilroe Mile. First post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the quarter pool, 6-1, 13-2. And it's Major Marvel who's in front. But Shared Adventure is running at him. The audience said, are you talking to me? He's hanging on. Normandy's coming in here. And right on the outside, here's Discreet Water. There are no more turns in the Gold Cup. And it's Major Marvel and that left-hand drive. On the outside, here's Normandy. Shared Adventure starts to falter. But you can sing this field a lullaby. They have been put to bank. Major Marvel has won the 2014 Gold Cup. Coca. Normandy was second. Dash and Devil was third. Close for fourth. Illinois have yet official results. Linden Yard, Royal the Gallopo.
Dean Springer with the call of the 2014 running of the Barbados Gold Cup. This was a race that was incepted in 1982. Now, if you're wondering about the Barbados Turf Club, that dates all the way back to 1905. And Major Marvel, one of two victories in the race for owner Ken Ramsey and one of four victories in the race for jockey Patrick Husbands, a native of Barbados. JT, he is tied with jockeys Venice Richards and Jono Jones with those four victories. If he can pull off a win for Ken Ramsey aboard Keystone for Victory in today's Gold Cup, he's going to stand alone atop that list.
Yeah, and that's a very classy list of riders. And, you know, Patrick, he's just had success everywhere. But he comes here, and he's like the Michael Jordan of Barbados. Everybody wants to touch him. Everybody wants to talk to him. Matter of fact, when you go into the airport here and into customs, the first thing you see is a picture of Patrick Husbands on one of Ken Ramsey's horses, and Rihanna's like way on the back wall. So that's the kind of respect that Patrick Husbands has in Barbados.
Rihanna, one of the more famous members of the Bayesian community to come from this country and have success on the big stage. Patrick Husbands certainly right there as well, at least with horse racing fans. And he walked into the office Thursday morning when Jude and I were standing there, and I immediately told him, I said, Patrick, I know you're busy, you probably have a million things going on, but we need to ask you a few questions about this year's Gold Cup and being back in Barbados. And here's what Patrick had to say.
Patrick, first of all, congratulations on all the success, my friend. Well done.
Thank you very much, and it's an honor being here in Barbados for this big event.
Tell me about that. As a native of Barbados, you come home for this particular race, the biggest race in the country. What's it like for you?
You know, I travel throughout the whole of North America, you know. I've been a couple of grade one races and won the Queen's Plate and et cetera, et cetera. But riding the Gold Cup in terms of your home ground when everybody's so close and stuff like that is an unbelievable feeling.
You're a little bit of a rock star when you come back home here, right? It's you, it's Rihanna, kind of the big names here in Barbados. What's that like when you walk out onto the track and you're here in front of your hometown and your home country?
It's hard to explain. You know, it's just emotion, you know. I mean, and you travel the whole island, you know, everybody, you know, congrats, congrats, congrats. And you live up to that standard with a lot of respect and a lot of discipline, you know what I mean? And so it's a real, real thrill feeling. It's a real, real thrill feeling.
Of course, your four wins. Is there one that stands out more than maybe some of the others?
Yeah, I had a horse here called Shark and Pack. He's come from the United States of America. He was in Barbados for 8 years. He could only go five furlongs. He never won a race yet. He go five furlongs. He just get beat. He go seven furlongs, ran fifth. He go nine furlongs, which is where the Gold Cup goes. He's run last. So I come home here, and I get on him for Derek Smith, and then they told him this horse can't lose the Gold Cup. And he's like, whatever. So unfortunately, the horse ran four losses since I was being here in Barbados for the winter. I tell him this horse still can't lose the Gold Cup. So I rode him in the Gold Cup, going nine for lounge. I tell everybody he can't lose. I want to know if I could make a miracle out of it. You know what I mean? And I won the race, so wired the field. He went by nine lengths. I never caught the stick on him, nothing like that. And that is one of the biggest and one of the sweetest feelings. I mean, and I can't even explain. I never hit him, nothing like that. By the time I swing for home, you know how you ride a horse down the lane? I was punching the air. And he won at 25-1. After telling the whole of Barbados he can't lose, you know what I mean? So that's gone down in my history. All the races I won over 3,700 races, and that particular one gone down in history.
Yeah, it's a pretty special moment, and it's nice when they surprise you like that too. So this particular turf course here, a bit of a unique type of course. What's the key to riding it successfully?
Yeah, you know, all bull rings throughout the whole world. You know what I mean? And, you know, you just got to get out the gates and get in the first tree, and then you go from there. You know, and, you know, the bull rings, you can't really close on a bull ring unless it's extremely solid pace up front, you know. And then when all the falter down the lane, it's time you could pass them. But this track here is so tight, you know, it's basics to any bull ring. You know, just get out the gates, get in the first tree, and then you go from there, you know what I mean? So it's standard.
All right, so how about this year? Keystone for Victory is the horse that can put you at the top of the list with five victories in the Gold Cup. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, you know, you're looking forward to see him perform. You know, he's showing you on form that he's the best horse in the race, you know what I mean? And I just got to get a perfect trip, you know, and at the end of the day, I want to keep Ramsey and keep everybody smiling, you know what I mean? But just looking forward for a trip right now.
All right, so you get off the plane here at Barbados. You come into customs, and there's a big picture of Patrick Husbands in the Ramsey silks. It's the first thing you see when you walk into customs. What's that like, my man? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know, that the country respect you and you respect everybody on the island. And it's a big promotion for Barbados, and it's also a big promotion for me. And I'm just living my dream life now.
You're the best. Go get it done. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Patrick Husbands living the dream for sure. That dream can get even better later today if he can win his fifth Gold Cup aboard Keystone for Victory. Jude, you think about what he's accomplished here. He won his first Gold Cup back in 1990 with a horse called Vardar. Then he had to wait until that win in 2006 with Sharp Impact that he talked about as being one of his signature moments in his entire career. Then he comes back for Ken Ramsey in 2014, and in between that he rode Stirwinds to victory in 2010. So it's been a great ride for Patrick Husbands, looking to continue later today.
Yeah, well, he's a tremendous rider, and of course Stirwinds owned by Eugene Melnick, who's a Barbados guy and has in the old days had a lot of horses in Canada. He doesn't have as many as he used to have, but Patrick used to ride for him up there in Canada as well. So, Patrick Husbands, no matter where he rides, he's successful. And when he's here, he's an absolute force to be reckoned with.
He is a force to be reckoned with, and he is going to be, well, looking for number five later today, as we told you. One thing that he said in that interview I want to ask you about, this turf course, very unique, 6 furlongs. They're going to go 1.5 laps to go the mile and an eighth distance. I think it's, what, 1,800 meters, I believe is what
right.
It comes out to. He talked about being up in the top three and then taking it from there. It's a bit of a European-style turf course where it's almost egg-shaped, kind of has a couple of undulations in it. Do you agree you need to be up close to win the Gold Cup?
Well, you know, the great California trainer Jerry Fanning taught me a little bit about bull rings, and he always said you either want to be first or you want to be last. And that's kind of a good way to look at it. But this is grass, so it's a little bit different here. And you do need position. Position's so important early in the race. You can't afford to go wide. I mean, there's really not anywhere to go wide. The course itself is very narrow, so you have to try to get a good trip, save a little bit of ground. And, of course, if you have speed, it gives you the jump. As we were standing on the turf course yesterday, you took a fantastic photo that's on Twitter of the last furlong of the race.
Yeah.
And then when you see where the quarter pole is, you really have to be – that would be the top – the quarter pole would be the top of the stretch on most mile tracks. Well, it's the midpoint on the turn over here. So you really have to be in a great position there. If you can be, you know, close to the lead there, then you have a shot to win the Gold Cup.
Yeah, head back to our Twitter page, at HRN on Twitter, and check out that picture. I took it standing there at the furlong pole, the final furlong, and it's a great – view of what the jockeys will see when they turn for home in this afternoon's Gold Cup. Well, as we mentioned, Patrick Husbands is riding for Ken Ramsey again this year. Ken Ramsey represented by Keystone for Victory with Patrick aboard and High Noon Rider coming from the United States, who will be ridden by jockey Rafael Hernandez. And yesterday, Jude had the opportunity to catch up with Ken.
I'm here with Ken Ramsey. We're standing right on the turf course at Garrison Savannah. Kent, resplendent in his tropical shirt. Looks like he just stepped out of a Tommy Bahama catalog, as our friend David Seal would say. Welcome to the greatest place on earth.
And we're standing right where history is going to be made tomorrow. It's a shame I'm not going for a four-peat. TV camera here would show you. The front cover is me getting beat last year.
I heard you might airbrush that other horse out.
Well, we're trying to figure out how you should have cropped it. I need to work with a guy that puts a front on the magazine down there. But next year, who knows? Could be different.
Well, you are certainly a big supporter of racing in Barbados. Everybody here appreciates it, and you're kind of like a rock star when you get down here. Why do you love this Barbados racing so much?
Well, the atmosphere, it's the weather. You can't knock the weather. It never frosts down here, so if you want to come down and sun your buns, it's a great place. We're staying up to Radisson last night. They had a beach party, all the the torches out there and the steel band music. I mean, just something, like I have out of a storybook. I record it, so. Great place to come on vacation. Great horse racing. This is where it started, This has been going on since 1790s. The old Garrison over here at the clock tire and all that. I mean, This is strictly British. Not Royal Ascot, but a first cousin.
Well, it is a great place, and you and I share an affection for Barbados and for the racing here. You brought two really nice horses this year. Talk about them.
Well, I brought two last year, a front runner and a closer. Last year didn't have the best of racing trips. You know, one of them lost a shoe, and the other one stumbled coming out the gate. A little better trip this year, I think, would be okay. Keystone for Victory, probably going to be the favorite tomorrow. The betting public guy told me he bet $1,000 already through a bookie, so he wouldn't hurt my odds here at the track. And he'll be up close to pace, hopefully. And the other horse, matter of fact, I had a fellow already ask me, would I sell him for a stallion prospect? He's a distorted humor, and he sold for $450,000 a yearling. So he got a good pedigree. He just doesn't run too fast. But I told him I didn't have anything. It wasn't for sale. So put a price on him after the race, and we'll see what happens. So we may leave him down here. That's the horse called High Noon Rider.
Yeah, well, he does have a beautiful pedigree and nice-looking horse. Would be a great addition to the stallion roster down here, I'm sure. You've kind of cut back on your operation. You had 600 horses in training. You're trying to get down to 300.
Well, that's right. We've lost, had 12 claimed already in the month of February there at Gulfstream. We're going to end up being the leading owner there. We had 18 wins, and yours guys got 10. We're also leading by two or three up at Turfway. I ran one up there last night. He won and went off odds on, was claimed. Kind of hard to make any money off of him.
Well, what you need to do is you need to be the leading owner in Barbados. How about sending a string down here?
Well, the purses are not all that good, you know, and the shipping costs and all that. So time you put it all together, you almost have to win to break even. But it's not, we're not in it for the money, you know. We're in it for the sport and all that. I was told, you know, when I sold that Sayer telephone company, you got it made now, just put it in the bank, let it draw interest, and sit under the palm tree. If I'd have done that, I'd have been dead already. Hey, getting a rocking chair, you don't last long, you know. So I'm down here keeping my blood flowing, active, meeting all these people. Hey, that's what it's all about.
And there's plenty of palm trees down here. Well, good luck tomorrow. As you know, we wish you all the luck, and hopefully you'll get it done.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Always a lot of fun to catch up with Ken Ramsey. JT, he was great with you yesterday. And that laugh, man, people talk about your laugh being infectious. His laugh is definitely infectious.
Yeah, the two of us get together, we sound like a couple of Swiss guys. he's a fun guy to be around. And he's another fellow who, when he comes to Barbados, he's a mini celebrity. I mean, he doesn't have Patrick Husband status, but he's not too far away. People here love him. And
how many pictures did he take yesterday?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, people were just lining up like he was, you know, the only game in town.
And yeah.
A lot of people wanted pictures. He saw one guy that had Kenneth on the back of a jersey. He wanted a picture with him. And, you know, he's just he's a lot of fun when he's here. He enjoys himself. I think it's a little bit of a getaway for him because he's very intense during the year, you know, with all of his horses and trying to get the job done, be a leading owner everywhere. But when he comes down here, it's just about this race. It's about enjoying himself and whatever family and friends he brings along. And so it's a time for him to just enjoy the sport, really, which is what Barbados racing is all about.
The other thing that caught his eye with that jersey that said Kenneth on the back when the guy walked by us was that it was Ramsey Red.
Yeah.
So he stopped the guy. He asked him for a picture. He took a picture, a regular picture with him, and then he made him turn around so that he could see the name Kenneth in the picture too.
Yeah.
He's outstanding.
Yeah, he's something else. And
good for racing, good for Barbados, and they love him here. He loves Barbados. It's a great relationship, and we'll see if he can get his third Gold Cup victory later today with either Keystone for Victory or High Noon Rider, who some people are thinking, well, maybe he's the wise guy horse and not Keystone for Victory, who is probably going to go postward as the favorite.
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely the wise guy horse. You hear a lot of whispers about him. Last night they had their annual Scurries party here, and you know, people were talking about High Noon Rider. So it's going to be interesting to see which Ramsey horse is the main contender. You know, sometimes you think one can't lose, and it's the other one that's the tough one. But you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very good race. It's very exciting. A lot of the owners feel like they have a chance to win, and that makes it a handicapping puzzle and a good thing.
It's race 10 on the 12 race program. It's the first time they've ever had 12 races on Gold Cup Day. 14 horses are scheduled to go, barring any changes. There's two also eligible, so there's a good chance we'll still have a 14-horse field. Post time, 3:55 Eastern. Our coverage kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern. If you're just joining us, we mentioned it earlier, you can tune in Sirius XM Channel 83 and worldwide on our website with the live streaming at horseracingradio.net. And that coverage also includes the Fountain of Youth, which is part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by FTBOA. Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason will be on site at Gulfstream to bring you that coverage, and it's going to be a huge, huge day of racing coast to coast and worldwide. Happy to have you with us this morning on the Equine Forum. We're back with more. You'll hear from Robert Pierce, the defending champion in terms of the trainers here, as he gets ready to saddle Dorset in the Gold Cup, and you'll hear from Nolan Ramsey in the next segment. Stay with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coes in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes-winning two-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And welcome back to Barbados on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, live from Garrison, Savannah, here in this tropical paradise. And it is simply sensational. We got here on Wednesday. It has been an amazing trip so far. We would recommend that if you are looking for a vacation destination, you do consider Barbados. One thing you might want to be cautious of, though, is some of the food choices that you'll find. But as people know that listen to this program and have for more than a decade now, I'm a bit of a picky eater. So when I go to different venues and destinations, it can be a little tough for me, JT. They are known here in Barbados for what's called the flying fish, right? And it's a delicacy, right? Well, I don't eat fish, so it's very difficult for me. Barracuda, I think you had barracuda last night. For me, I'm not going to touch that kind of stuff, right? So my diet the last couple of nights has consisted of, are you ready for this? Meatballs. Right? Two nights ago, I had chicken parmesan. And then last night, I had fettuccine alfredo with grilled chicken. I've had a couple of chicken sandwiches. That's been about it so far for me.
Yes, you're very Italian in your selections. But
Who the heck comes to Barbados and gets chicken parmesan, though? That's what I want to know.
Only you, because the flying fish is great. Last night, I had the best barracuda. I mean, my dinner, I was still thinking about it this morning. We went to Tapas, a local restaurant here. They do a fantastic job.
The restaurant was great.
Beautiful place, and just really enjoyed dinner last night. I mean, there's so many nice places to go here, and even some of the fast food places. There's a place called Chicken Barn that makes this just delicious roasted chicken. It's just sensational. So a lot of things to do, and, of course, the water's so warm, and it's so beautiful, and the colors, the turquoise and the green and the blue, and it's just unbelievable.
All right, we haven't thrown out a poll question yet, so here's what I want to know from HRN Nation this morning. You can tweet to us at HRRN on Twitter. If you came to Barbados and you had to choose something to eat when you're out to dinner, would you go with the flying fish, the barracuda, the chicken parm, or the fettuccine alfredo? Those are the four choices we're going to put out there. If you came to Barbados, which way are you leaning? Are you going with the Baron or are you going with the Pontiff on this one? The flying fish, barracuda, chicken parmesan. Can't miss. It was good chicken parm, by the way. And fettuccine alfredo.
All right,
with grilled chicken. I got a little fancy with the grilled chicken on it.
Let's remind you who the fat guy is here.
There you go. Well, in the previous segment, we did hear from owner Ken Ramsey looking for his third victory in the Gold Cup. His grandson, Nolan Ramsey, is also here. He was here last year as well. Nolan is the assistant trainer to Mike Maker. Now, as you know, we told you earlier in the show, Keystone for Victory and High Noon Rider, both of the horses carrying the red and white Ramsey colors this afternoon, are trained by Mike Maker. Mike is not here, so Nolan's handling the training duties. And we did have a chance earlier to catch up with Nolan, and here's what he had to say about training for his grandfather.
Here with Nolan Ramsey, who is the assistant trainer to Mike Maker. They have two horses in this year's Gold Cup. You were here last year, Nolan. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be back.
What do you think of Barbados?
I love it. Definitely a nice break from the winter up in Florida. More relaxed, island style, I guess you could say.
You're pretty busy working with the horses. You get any time to relax when you're here?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I had some help down here, so we get done kind of early and give me a little time to relax between now and feed time. So go see the island, hit the beach, take it easy.
So tell me about the two horses that you brought down here this year.
We got Keystone for Victory, who's been down in our barn at Florida at Gulfstream here for a couple months. Doing really well, coming off of two wins in a row. Tough little starter race, and then the starter stake, the claiming crown. And then the other being High Noon Rider. He was claimed at Kentucky Downs for 62.5. Nice little horse, useful, kind of a hard luck horse. Ran him in an allowance race over at Churchill. I believe he finished sixth, but only got beat a handful of lengths. Nice little horse. He's doing exceptionally well. Hadn't seen him since Churchill. He's been up at Palmetto's, but I saw him here when he walked off the plane. He looks unreal.
You were just on the phone with Mike before we started this interview. What were you talking to him about?
I was just telling him how the day went, what the horses look like, a couple of scratches and nicks, how they're doing, everything, how it's progressing. Just trying to keep them in the loop, really.
So how do the horses look? What's your opinion?
Good. Both look really good. Exceptionally High Noon Rider. I mean, the horse just looks unreal. He's handled everything with class, taking him to the paddock, taking him to the gate. Just never lifted a hair. Classy old horse. Keystone, very useful little horse. He's handled the track well, handled everything well for everything being new. So no complaints yet.
All right, so this game has been in your pedigree since you were born. Your grandfather, who you're training for this weekend, and you've done so several times with Mike Maker, is one of the leading owners in the country, Ken Ramsey. What's it like training for your granddad?
Tough. Tough. I wouldn't say he holds me to higher expectation, but I hold myself to higher expectation. You know, not that I cut corners or like to take the easy way out on anything, but I especially like to win for him and my grandmother. So coming down here with these two horses, and I know this race means a lot to him, it's nice that I get to do it for him. Mike's given me plenty of opportunities with horses like Al's Gal and Sir Dudley Diggs, taking him to run in big races, and had success in the past, so I hope to repeat this weekend.
What's your favorite Ramsey horse?
Ooh, that's tough. Son of Kitten's Joy, obviously. A horse called Colport. Older horse, nice little horse, stakes winner. Just cool, classy old horse, fun to be around. Just got a lot of character to him. He sees me walking down the shed row every morning. He'll start nickering at me looking for his banana. He likes bananas. And when they're cooling him out after the track, he'll hunt me down and search me for bananas. So just a cool horse, have some fun around.
Where does Nolan's Cat rank?
Ooh, Nolan's Cat. He's a nice horse as well. Good memories going to the Belmont, pictures and everything. He's back at the farm now. Actually, I rode him a couple of times. He wasn't having much of it, but he's right up there as well. He's taken me several places. Cool horse.
You said it's tough training for your grandfather. Does that make the victories even more sweet, though, when you can win for your grandfather and your grandmother?
Oh, especially. You know, a horse like Sir Dudley Diggs. I had got to work with him a little bit in Florida. I took him up to the Queen's Plate trial myself, took him up to the Queen's Plate and on to Fort Erie and then back to Woodbine. So we got to run the whole circuit, and just to share a victory like that with him makes it even more special.
You know, your grandfather has a rule with his trainers where they have to win at least 20% in order to maintain a job with him.
Yeah.
So if you go out on your own one day and he gives you a couple of horses, he said he's not lowering that bar just because your last name's Ramsey.
I wouldn't expect him to. Have a feeling he might even hold me to a little bit higher expectations.
21%.
21%. Can you do it?
I think Mike's given me the education, and my grandfather as well, working on the farm. I'll try my hand.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Nolan Ramsey, and Ken was videoing the entire interview, and you heard him pipe up with 21%. He's going to raise the bar for Nolan when he goes out on his own. He wants to see if he can cut it. Well, I think he can. The kid's pretty darn good. He's really sharp, and he is very, very dedicated to those horses.
Yeah, super focused, and just a really nice guy. A different personality than his grandfather. A lot more serious about racing from the business standpoint of it. But he's got a bright future, that's for sure.
Yeah, good kid. We'll see if he can find himself in the winner's circle later today after the 36th running of the Barbados Gold Cup. Now, if he does that, he's going to have to defeat not only all the other rivals, Jude, but he's going to have to defeat the defending champion, Dorset, who is trained by Robert Pierce. And yesterday we had a chance to catch up with Robert, and we talked with him about his bid for the repeat.
Well, Robert Pierce has won the Gold Cup on three different occasions, including last year with Dorset. He's looking to make it four, and he's looking to go back-to-back this year if he can pull it off. Robert, first of all, congratulations on all the success. Great job.
Thank you very much.
So I talked to Patrick Husbands earlier this week, another fellow Bayesian, and he's won the Gold Cup four times. He said his favorite is Sharp Impact, which was your very first Gold Cup victory. Has to be pretty special for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Patrick Husbands and John O. Jones are my two best friends, and Patrick rode the winner and John O. rode the second place horse, so for me. So it was definitely a very, very special occasion.
I asked Patrick, being a native of Barbados, what it's like to win the country's biggest horse race. So I'll ask you kind of the same thing. What's it like?
It's amazing. It's amazing. The whole thing, I mean, you guys have been here. There's like thousands of people and everybody's so close, and it really, really means a lot. I mean, as Patrick would tell you, I mean, he's won many, many major stake races all over the world, and to win this race, I mean, even Ken Ramsey says it, you know, it's so amazing because everybody's, you know, it's so close and the atmosphere and everything is just so amazing.
What kind of horse does it take to win this race? How do you feel confident going into the race with a special horse?
Well, there's a lot that goes into it. And like last year, I'll be honest, like Dorset was like almost made to win because I have Safi Joseph in Gulfstream last year, and he was helping us try to find a horse for the race. And we were looking for months and months and months. And because, you know, when you're claiming a horse, there's so much things you got to look at, you know, so much red flags to look out for. And there was always something that, you know, we didn't. And on the very last day that we could possibly claim a horse, this horse came up, you know, and you can see he was running consistently every month. So he knew off the bat that nothing major was wrong with him. And he ran successfully over the time. He just basically... he had to run for a tag then, so basically that's why he was there, and this worked out so perfectly, and everything went well. But yeah, you gotta look at this track, you know, you don't want a horse that's too big and all that, you know, there's so much things you need a turf horse, obviously, you know, so there's a lot of things you gotta look at.
Yeah, he came into the race in pretty good form last year, and like you said, he fit the race perfectly. This year, well, it's been a little bit more of a struggle since last year, I guess. He hasn't won since the Gold Cup last year. What's different this year coming into the race than last year, other than the fact that you've had him for a year now?
No, what happened was he ran a race, his first race back after the Cup. He found himself, he was going at full speed ahead and 2 furlongs to go, and just found himself like running straight into the back of another horse, and the jockey had to like go from full speed to no speed. He ended up burning all his bulbs out and stuff, and his ankles from there, his ankles started bothering him. And to be honest, like, so all year it was basically on treating him with kid gloves, you know? You gotta be, because we wanna make the Gold Cup. You know, the Gold Cup is a major race, and I managed to get the prep race in with the Coolmore, and he ran a huge race to drop. He came out the gates really badly, spotted the field like 6 lengths, and the jock dropped his stick 3 furlongs out, and he still managed to get beat a nose. So he ran a huge race, and that was with not much preparation, in that it was using it as a prep race for him. And and since then he's been huge. He came out the race beautifully, you know, keeping all his ankles and everything cool. So I think he's well, let me tell you, he's the soundest he's been since the last Gold Cup. So I think he'll do well.
Yeah, he looks like he's really rounding back to form at the right time, and that race the other day was a really good race, and I think he's got a big chance. We know he loves the course, and he's got a good draw, I think. So there's lots of pluses this year.
Yeah, no, obviously we have to. I think personally, he's the best of the Barbadian horses. But, you know, Mr. Ramsey always comes with good horses. So on the day, we have to see how his horses perform on the track, you know. And from there, I think we have an excellent chance in the race, to be honest.
If I remember correctly, Robert, last year the party went all night long after you won the Gold Cup. What do you got planned for a celebration this year if you can pull it off?
Never any plans. Never any plans. That's the most bad luck thing ever. We make the plans after. And last year it went here, and then we had the one in Trinidad, party in Trinidad as well, so that also went into the morning. So it's always good to train for overseas owners, because you get two parties. One in this country and then one in the other country. So yeah.
Well said. Let's hope we're partying again Saturday night. Good luck.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to it.
No doubt the party will be in full swing if Dorset can get the victory later today in the Barbados Gold Cup. And Jude, one thing that Robert said in that interview was that this is the soundest Dorset has been since last year's race when he won it. That right there could be enough to get the victory later today.
Yeah, well, it speaks volumes, because, you know, when a horse has a situation where they get injured in a race, and you know, he said he blew his bulbs out. That kind of means the back of his feet. Yeah. You know, he had to stop real quick and got, you know, like it's almost like a razor burn feeling. So, you know, horses can't train if their feet are not right. And then, you know, he said his ankles were bothering him. So now, you know, after a year of taking care of the horse and running him gingerly, as my friend Paul Kuba would say, you know, he's got him right where he wants him, and he really sounded optimistic last night that the horse was really coming up to the race good. I feel the same way. I think he's got a big chance to win the race. I guess it would be considered a little bit of an upset, but how can the defending champion really be an upsetter? I don't think that's the case.
He also started the interview talking about his good friend Safi Joseph, who trains at Gulfstream back in the States, and we would be remiss if we didn't send out a very special thank you to Safi for everything that he has done to make all of these shows possible. You remember last year was our first trip to Barbados. It was the first broadcast we ever hosted from an international venue. None of it would have been possible without the help of Safi Joseph, who kind of took the ball, ran with it, and organized everything for us. So, Safi, if you're listening, I know you're probably training at Gulfstream, but thank you so much, my friend. We really do appreciate it. And well done picking Outdoor Set last year. Let's see if you can go back-to-back.
Yeah, Safi's been on a roll with claiming horses at Gulfstream this year. He's had a great meet, and he's doing a fantastic job. And it's really kind of funny because there really isn't any claiming going on at Barbados, and Safi is an accomplished trainer here, won the Barbados Triple Crown, but he seems to have taken to the claiming game in big fashion, claiming a Gold Cup winner, and now a lot of winners down at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, I'd love to send him a horse. Great trainer and great person, Safi, and his dad, Big Saf, as they call him.
Big Saf and Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba. Yeah, they do a great job. All right, we're going to get to another break when we come back. One more segment before we get to the second half of the program. And in the next segment, you are going to hear from the only female trainer ever to win the Gold Cup. And she's done it on three different occasions. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalabadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
For nearly half a century, the Northern Dancer sire line has dominated thoroughbred breeding. Galileo has earned his place among the breed-shaping sires from that lineage.
They're into the stretch. Magician is trying to come late.
Now, his best son in North America.
On the far outside, Magician
will carry on the legacy.
And Magician runs down the field.
The road to the Kentucky Derby stops in South Florida this afternoon with the Grade 2 ExpressBet.com Fountain of Youth Stakes. Part of a program featuring 9 stakes races along with the Grade 2 Devona Dale for 3-year-old fillies and the Grade 2 Mac Dermida for older horses on the turf. And be sure to take advantage of lucrative guarantees in the Late Pick 4, Late Pick 5, and Rainbow 6. It's all part of another championship meet Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Welcome to your playground.
Claiborne Farm presents Trap Shot. This graded stakes winner and multiple grade one performer is now an emerging young sire.
His top runners include Fish Trap Road, winner of the Grade 3 Dwyer Stakes, plus two-year-old stakes winner Mirai, graded stakes place Quick Release, and Grade 1 performers My Man Sam and Wild Shot. Already ranked among the nation's leading sires of two-year-old winners, Trap Shot has the speed, the class, and the pedigree to remain Tappet's top sign. Trap Shot at Claiborne Farm.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Down on the outside, making steady headway is whiskey for me. That's the way they come to the corner. With just over for long to travel in the broke up rules. Wavering is the lead on the inside of two. Here's stable companion, whiskey for me on the outside with a big challenge. Deep down on the inside of two. It's digging in deep and finding more. But the challenge is too big for whiskey for me on the outside. Whiskey for me picking it up and is going to win the broke up. Whiskey for me wins the broke up by next to on the inside. Stable companion, that's who's wavering runs second.
I have to tell you, JT, Chicken Parm is not getting embarrassed in our HRM poll this morning.
We don't have very adventurous listeners, is that what you're
now,
saying?
Now, Fettuccine Alfredo is getting smoked. Not one vote for Fettuccine Alfredo yet. Mm. Flying Fish is at the top of the list. People would actually eat Flying Fish.
A lot of people eat Flying Fish.
I don't want to eat any kind of fish. Flying, swimming, it doesn't matter.
I know you're not a fish guy.
No, I have a very sensitive palate when it comes to those kind of things. That's our poll question of the day. If you come to Barbados, which is where Jude and I are this morning and this afternoon for our coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup, if you come here, what are you eating? And we're giving you four choices. Jude's a fish guy. I am absolutely not. You can eat flying fish. You can eat barracuda, both of those somewhat native to this island paradise. Or you can have what I had the past couple of nights, chicken parm or fettuccine Alfredo with grilled chicken. Or even have it without the grilled chicken if you want. You don't have to get the grilled chicken. It's an add-on. You don't have to get it.
Obviously, you're a big chicken guy.
Those are the four choices. We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. What do you think? Are you siding with the Pontiff or the Baron if you go on a trip to Barbados? Hey, don't forget that if you haven't done so yet, you can make your plans now to attend EquestriCon 2017. That's the fan-centric conference taking place in Saratoga in August, and you can get your tickets right now at EquestriCon.com. They went on sale last week, and you won't want to miss it. You want to be part of it. There are going to be panels. There are going to be autograph sessions. It's going to give fans an opportunity to be part of something that they typically cannot in a lot of ways. It's going to give them access to different elements of the industry. Jockeys and trainers and owners, they'll all be there, and you'll have a chance to meet them, get some autographs, get some pictures, and really learn a lot about what's happening with the sport of thoroughbred racing and some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. Really cool stuff. It's all at EquestriCon 2017 coming this August to Saratoga. Visit EquestriCon.com right now to get your tickets. Well, trainer Elizabeth Dean has won the Gold Cup on a few different EK occasions, but you heard the clip of Whiskey for Me winning the 2007 running coming out of the break. That was her first win, and it was a historic win as she became the first female trainer ever to saddle a Gold Cup winner. And here's what Elizabeth had to say earlier this week.
Elizabeth, let's start by looking back on that day in 2007. Take me back to that moment when Whiskey for Me crosses the line here at Garrison Savannah.
Yeah, well, it was, of course, very exciting because this is our biggest race all year. We don't have another day like this. Whiskey for Me was bought for the Gold Cup in mind, and he turned up on the day. And, of course, it was exciting. It was also exciting for the stable because we also ran second as well with Who's Wavering. She was a sprinter, but ran a great race, so we had one too, and we were really, really happy.
Yeah, very special moment for you, and I hear this term a lot. We talk about female trainers, and we hear this in the United States quite often too, and many of the female trainers I talk to that accomplish certain things in the sport say, you know what, I'm just a trainer. Same for you?
Yeah, same. It makes no difference. I have all my friends. I mean, we don't have any other female trainers here. And I get on great with all the other trainers. They're friends more than just trainers. But of course, I have a great client in Sir David Sue. I work there actually since 1986, and he's really been a great client to me. We've won two Gold Cups. Dancing and David won, and his half brother John Brown was second. So that's like my most That was my favorite Gold Cup, to be honest.
Dancing David?
Dancing David, yeah. Yeah, he came in for the Gold Cup as well. Nearly didn't get in, was a reserve. Got in at the last minute, won well. And his half-brother, John Brennan, at 7 years of age, ran second.
Yeah, pretty special. You know you've made it when Richard Seal, his son, calls you and you can put him on hold.
Yeah, for real. For real. That's his son, for real. Yeah, I'm going to call him Manuel.
We had a chance to catch up with Sir David last year at the Rum Distillery and had a wonderful visit. Such a great man. Tell me about the relationship.
Yeah, he's great. He's, you know, he has such a wonderful sense of humor. He's a good boss. That's the truth. He's really a great man. Great man in my book and in most people's books.
For you, being a native of Barbados, to be here as a three-time Gold Cup winning trainer has to be just somewhat surreal, is it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's great. You know, it's great. It's great for our country. And I mean, that's number one for me. And I'm really proud when Mr. Ramsey keeps bringing horses. Sometimes we wish you wouldn't, but you know, but he doesn't just bring any horse. He brings, you know, good horses, probably better than ours, but and that's so important for us because it creates such an interest. I'm telling you, there are people that come here tomorrow that don't even know what racing is, and like I told you, because of all the networks now, everybody's into cricket. Well, of course, cricket is our number one game, and but all the guys, basketball, they all know LeBron James. They probably have never heard of Gold Cup, or maybe they've heard of it, but they don't know hardly any horses. So it's really important that he brings. And then our brothers from Trinidad, they've come up this year, and we were so happy to have them because the rivalry between the islands is just great. We're friends, but we're rivals.
Yeah, it makes it very, very interesting when those types of horses arrive here to Barbados. And you talk about cricket being the number one sport. Horse racing, though, goes back quite a ways, and horse racing is kind of weaved into the culture of Barbados. What does horse racing and the sport mean to the country?
I wish it meant more, to be honest. You know, when we're out of our tourist season, there's hardly anyone in the stands. Barbadians don't really come to races. Our stands are full during the tourist season, full of tourists, which is unfortunate because, you know, it's a nice day, but they're just, Barbadians are just not into racing generally. Gold Cup, yes, but general racing, no.
Where did this journey for Elizabeth Dean begin?
Well, we were brought up in horses. Dad played polo, and he was actually a patrol judge when we were young. But for any time we could walk, we were riding horses. I used to short jump. I never played polo. So we were always into horses. And then I trained for a while, and then I got a job running Hopefield Stables in 1986. And that kind of was like a foot in the door because, like, Sir David always had good horses. In those days, he brought in all his horses from England and Ireland. And he actually brought in some very good horses. Our stable actually won a Gold Cup 7 times. So I actually had the privilege of being there from the very first Gold Cup winner, which was Ben Tom in 1986. And then we had three with Sanford Prince, Choo Choo Royal, and then the two that I trained. So it's been a great ride.
What did your dad think when you decided to get into horse racing and become a trainer? Did he like the idea?
Because dad was always, he actually used to keep board horses for a big stable at that time. So he always liked the racehorse aspect as well. So yeah, he was happy. He was happy.
What type of horse does it take to win the Gold Cup?
Well, my opinion, they got to have speed. They got to have a bit of stamina, not a huge amount because it is a very tight track. The turns are tight. But I do think speed is the secret and a bit of stamina. And that's why I think I like Keystone to Victory. He looked a bit skittish yesterday morning. He wasn't really comfortable with his surroundings. But, you know, when horses are natural herders, so when he gets in a race among horses, he should be just fine. But he, watching his races in his States, shows a lot of speed and runs on, which to me is the essence for winning a Gold Cup. I think he's going to be a tough nut.
What's the key to beating him with Daunting David this year?
Rain. Rain, and more rain. But Keystone may like it too, so we don't know.
Yeah, that's trainer Elizabeth Dean, the only female ever to win the race, and she's done it on 3 different occasions. We'll see if she can do it this afternoon with Daunting David. Jute, she said rain, more rain. Well, I don't think she's going to get her wish today because right now it is absolutely gorgeous. There is a bit of cloud cover, but the sun's shining, and it's going to be in the low 80s today. There is no rain in the forecast. Did have some rain yesterday. Probably not going to make enough of a difference, at least the way that Elizabeth would like to see it make a difference.
Yeah, we were actually in the water yesterday when it started raining, and it was coming down pretty good. And looked like the first person I thought of was Elizabeth, obviously. And so I thought, well, she may get her wish because it was cloudy surrounding us. We hadn't seen that since we'd been here, and it didn't last long. Maybe 15, 20 minutes or so, it was over. Didn't rain the rest of the day. Just a gorgeous day here in Barbados, all in all. And so it's a little breezy today. It's a little dry, we'll see what happens this afternoon, but Dancing David is not going to get his preferred soft ground.
Daunting David,
sorry.
There is a Dancing David,
too. He already won the Gold Cup.
Daunting David, second in the 2015 running of the Gold Cup, and he has the pedigree. He's by Aragorn out of a war chant mare, so he has a great pedigree, and he has an opportunity to pull it off later today. Again, post time 3:55 Eastern. Our coverage 3:00 Eastern, SiriusXM 83, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We told you earlier that coverage includes the Fountain of Youth Stakes from Gulfstream with Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason anchoring that portion of the broadcast from South Florida. We're going to visit with Anthony when we come back in the second half of the show. Plus, you'll hear from jockey Jose Ortiz. You'll hear from Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, and we'll talk more about that road to the Kentucky Derby. That's in hour number two, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel, forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus.
Drapong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drapong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish. But Drapong's the leader. Drapong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
And welcome back to the second half of the show, the Equine Forum, rolling on from Garrison Savannah in the capital city of Bridgetown, Barbados, and happy to have you back with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld at the very top of the grandstand, and if you think that sounds high, well, it's really not. 10 rows of seats here in the grandstand at Garrison Savannah. It takes you only 35 steps to go from the bottom to the top. And, JT, we are in row number 11, right next to the mutual windows. And
perfect.
Getting set. Yeah, perfect. Getting set for that Barbados Gold Cup later today.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the people are starting to come in, and a lot of people dressed in pink, the official color of the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, pink and gold.
Well, we mentioned that the Barbados Gold Cup is not the only big race taking place this afternoon. You also have some great action back in the States with the Fountain of Youth Stakes, part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series of broadcasts presented by the FTBOA. That comes up later today. You also have the Gotham at Aqueduct, and you have the Battaglia Memorial at Turfway Park, all races for the three-year-olds that could play in and will play into that Derby picture.
Yeah, it's been an exciting Derby season so far, and we've had some defectors, and we've had horses come up and surprise us. So lots of time left to go before we get to the Kentucky Derby.
Well, one of the horses to keep an eye on in this year's Fountain of Youth is Practical Joke, who is going to be ridden by jockey Jose Ortiz. Irish War Chant for Graham Motion, who won the Holy Bull last time out, is the likely favorite. But Practical Joke, who makes his 3-year-old debut later today, is a horse that looks like he could give Irish War Chant all he wants if he's ready to roll. And yesterday, the big A, Anthony Stabile, was at Gulfstream and had a chance to visit with Jose Ortiz.
Here with the rider who won the most races in 2016, Jose Ortiz. He'll be riding Practical Joke, two-time Grade 1 winner today in the Fountain of Youth. Jose, you rode this horse when he won the Hopeful, his first Grade 1 last year up at Saratoga. First time back aboard. Must be pretty excited to get back on a horse on the Triple Crown Trail.
Yeah, it's pretty excited. He's a really nice horse. I was sad to not be able to ride it in the Japan, and I went to Keelan, but thank God I get back on him tomorrow.
Rode Ironicus that day down at Keeneland instead of riding him in the Champagne. Ran very well in the Champagne, third in the Breeders' Cup. When you rode him in the Hopeful, it was 7 furlongs, mile and a 16th in the Fountain of Youth. He was third around 2 turns in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. When you rode him in the Hopeful, you feel like the 2 turns is going to be a problem, or should he handle it with no problem?
Oh, he should handle it with no problem. He did handle it well in the Breeders' Cup. He ran a good third. And the day I rode him in the Hopeful, he just went more distant, you know. He won that race, but I feel that he wants to go farther, so I think it won't be a problem at all.
How do you see the Fountain of Youth developing early on? Where do you envision yourself laying going into the first turn and down the backstretch?
I'd probably be off the pace, you know. He's not a speed horse. Maybe in the second group, it's like three or four horses that got speed in front of me, so hopefully they hook up in front of me and I can close down late.
After a career year last year, Eclipse Award finalist, you're on the Triple Crown Trail really for the first time. Must be really exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting with this horse, but I was in the Triple Crown Trail with Sambrad and Upstar also. They get to a Kentucky Derby also, but this horse is special. I literally like this horse, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jose. Good luck in the Fountain of Youth.
Well, we will see tomorrow. That is today. Again, Anthony catching up with Jose yesterday at Gulfstream Park. The Express Bet Fountain of Youth Stakes is race 13. That's the final race on the program. It is set for a post time of 6:05 Eastern, and Anthony and Dan Mason, Radio Hall of Famer, joining the crew for the first time later this afternoon. They will have that coverage for you, kicking off 3 Eastern, part of our Barbados, Florida combined show, and you won't want to miss it. Sirius XM 83 and horseracingradio.net. Big A is with us now from the Sunshine State. Anthony, Jose sounds like he is not only excited but pretty confident in this horse, that the distance and the layoff isn't going to be an issue here today.
Well, you know, Mike, you have a 2-time Grade 1 winner, so if that's not going to bring out some confidence in you, I don't know what will. You know, is it Irish War Cry's race to lose? Absolutely. He was very dominant in the Holy Bull last time out, but Jose had this quiet confidence about him yesterday. You know, when you're on a roll like he's been on, and he's been on an unbelievable roll the last 15 months to 18 months professionally and personally, you got to look at a horse like Practical Joke and be thankful that you're in a race with so much speed, and you know what you have underneath you. Yeah, I know he's well behind Classic Empire and Not This Time last year, but you know how these horses are. They take the step forward from 2 to 3, and Practical Joke's always been a horse that I've had a lot of confidence in, and I think you're going to see a good performance from him today, and Jose thinks so as well.
Is he the most likely upsetter of the Fountain of Youth if Irish War Cry, the likely favorite, doesn't win?
I would have to think so. Again, making that progression from 2 to 3, I wouldn't even be too surprised if he was the kind of horse that had a little more tactical speed now, just because when he won the Hopeful, it was very professional, and he was in and amongst horses most of the way. I see him being a little closer to the pace than he probably has been in the past. And when you look at the other horse that's going to take some money in Gunnavera, he really comes from the clouds. This isn't the kind of racetrack. Gulfstream's not the kind of track that is conducive to runs like Gunnavera makes. So he ran very well, I thought, in the Holy Bull to be second behind Irish War Cry. I just, even with the pace, I don't see him making up enough ground to get the money on this track.
Well, a lot of times, too, when you give a horse a little bit of a layoff and they come back fresh, they're a lot more savvy when they get back from 2 to 3. They know the game. They've been to the races before, and it allows that natural ability to come out a little bit more than when they're younger and don't really have a clue of what's going on.
Yeah, and usually, I'm not going to tell you, dude, they're a little more keen coming out of there off that freshening. So, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised to see Practical Joe break a little sharper today and get himself in the game, especially with a guy like Jose Ortiz who, you know, he sets up his camp and it's his bread and butter to be right off the front end.
Anthony, anybody else in that Fountain of Youth field that really jumps off the page at you and you're going to be watching closely later today?
I think you have to take a look at Todd Pletcher's horse, Made You Look, no pun intended, for the simple fact that Todd has a bunch of three-year-old colts. He could have went to his bench, too, to run in this Fountain of Youth, and he's going to a horse that has run exclusively on the turf. Now, he has some class. He's a two-time graded stakes winner. He's by more than ready out of an unbridled song mare, so you don't think dirt would be a problem. If it was anybody besides a top echelon trainer like Todd, I would think twice, because I'm a big believer that when a horse debuts on turf, they can't run a lick on dirt, or they have this overwhelming turf pedigree. And that's not really the case with Made You Look. He started off his career early on. He was I believe he ran on May 27th to start his career. That's a little out of the ordinary for a Todd horse as well. So it wasn't like he was looking to run him long, and that's why he ran him on the turf. A lot of the turf races obviously are written longer than the dirt races. He's too much of a question mark, and it'll likely be too big of a price for me to ignore today.
All right, we're going to see if he can pull it off, and we're going to see who takes the next step on the road to Louisville later this afternoon. Again, that coverage kicking off 3 Eastern. Anthony, I mentioned you're going to be joined by Dan Mason, who is a former president of CBS Radio. He is now retired. He and I go back a long ways. I had known Dan since I started HRN more than a decade ago, and Dan retired and said, hey, you know what, Mike? I love horse racing. I love the broadcasting side of it. I'd love to do some things with you. So he's making his HRRN analyst debut alongside you later today. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were hanging out yesterday playing a few pick threes at Gulfstream Park and just getting to know each other a little bit. He's an owner, so he's been in the game a long time and loves the game and has a great and vast knowledge of the game. Really looking forward to our broadcast today. Tons of great stakes action at Gulfstream. 9 stakes in all. We'll have a bunch of them for you. I love this day. We were part of it last year. Acacia Courtney and I did the broadcast from Aqueduct last year. And being down here, just make sure everything goes well in Barbados so I can come to the Fountain of Youth every year, please.
What is that, an owl in the background?
I think they're testing the sound system here at the Garrison.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, check 1, 2, 1, 2. Test, test, test.
You're a New York guy. What are you thinking about the Gotham?
I'm thinking that my weekend stakes preview, Naira Bet's best bet, is in the Gotham. So I have a good opinion. I think True Timber is going to upset Ella Reeb today. Ella Reeb is going to the front end. I was talking to a friend of Trevor's, and they're going right to the top in the Gotham. And I think that True Timber, according to Kendrick Carmouche, when he came back in the quotes last time, he said, look, I'm going to sit. I want to sit off. He don't really want to be on the front end. He was on the front end last time. If Ella Reeb goes, he gets his target today. Now, I know that's a super tough target to run down, but I don't know. At the price, I like True Timber to upset today.
Yeah, I concur. I think True Timber was actually pretty impressive being on the lead for the first time last time and holding on as good as he did. A horse with less talent would have folded like a lawn chair, but he hung in there even though he got beat away. So I think he's got a big chance today.
He was helped a little bit by a good rail and a good speed track last time out, but he's got a lot of talent. I think he found himself on the front end. Even after he stumbled, he still ran really well. And when Kendrick Carmouche is having an unbelievable meet, our pal Jason Bidas has his book, and they've really gone to the next level on the Naira circuit. Kendrick's in such good form riding now, and when Kendrick gives input on a horse, You know, a lot of jocks give great input, but Kendricks really seems to resonate with these trainers a lot more. And the fact that he said he wants to come from off the pace, and it looks like he's going to get his dream set up today, it gives me a lot of encouragement and excitement to go to the windows on True Timber today.
Visiting with the Big A, Anthony Stabile here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is in Florida. Jude and I, if you're just joining us, are positioned at Garrison Savannah in Barbados, getting set for our coverage later this afternoon, which does include the Fountain of Youth Stakes and the Barbados Gold Cup. Anthony, just a quick side note here, my friend. Just for the record, I am so proud of HRN Nation right now. We threw out a poll question earlier, and you can still weigh in on the question. We want to hear from you. On our Twitter feed, if you come to Barbados, what are you eating? And we gave you different choices. Flying fish, no way. Barracuda, uh-uh. Chicken parm, well, yeah, why not? And fettuccine alfredo, because Jude has had the flying fish and the barracuda. I've had the chicken parm and the fettuccine alfredo. Chicken parm is making a comeback, currently in second, just 4 percentage points behind flying fish at the top of the list.
Well, I would have all four. That's a no-brainer.
Good answer.
In one sitting.
Listen, you're on an island, and it's not Sicily. What are you doing eating chicken parm and fettuccine alfredo, Baron?
And meatballs.
Get some seafood in your life, man.
I didn't have many other choices. I had already tried the chicken sandwich. Then I tried like a half of a chicken breast, which is actually very good.
What are you doing?
Beyond that.
Just go eat the fish.
I could have had a steak, I guess. I could have done a ribeye, maybe. Right?
The great Barbados trainer Safi Joseph tried to get him to eat fish one time. It was not a pretty sight.
I was a good Italian Catholic last night, Friday during Lent. Stayed away from the meat. I got to have dinner with my pal, the little A, Acacia Courtney. I had one of the best shrimp franchises in the history of shrimp franchise. So,
wow.
There you go. I saw the picture.
Get a little shrimp franchise. Get a little shrimp franchise in your life, Baron.
I didn't know you ate shrimp. That sounds a little too healthy.
I love shrimp. I'm like 11% shrimp. Are you kidding me?
Just don't give him strawberries.
He's turning pink like a flamingo.
He wouldn't even need a chocolate-covered strawberry. He picked the chocolate off and ate the chocolate and threw the strawberry out. All right, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, he's in Florida. He's back with you 3 o'clock Eastern this afternoon with Dan Mason, part of our coverage that includes the Gold Cup and the Fountain of Youth. Big A, appreciate it, my friend, and have fun down there in South Florida. We'll talk to you later this afternoon.
You got it, Mike.
All right, coming up next, Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. He'll tell you more about the Fountain of Youth and some of the things you can look forward to on a huge, huge day of racing at Gulfstream Park. And then we'll go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gulfstream in the final 15 minutes of the program. But before our next break, it is time for your weekly Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's one for you. Derby hopeful Beasley brings back memories. The horse is not named after Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Cole Beasley, nor after Keeneland's retired vice president of racing, Rogers Beasley, but for the tiny rural town of Beasley, Texas, where the population hovers around 650. He could be any kind of runner, and in the days to come, his connections hope he'll take them full circle to a certain racetrack and a certain Saturday in May, where 24 years ago, owner Lee Lewis and trainer Mark Hennig found themselves with their only Kentucky Derby starter to date. Yeah, pretty cool story. You can learn more by going to bloodhorse.com. That's the very first story you'll see when you visit bloodhorse.com. And don't forget that Blood Horse and Weatherbees have recently released their new Global Stallions app. It has a wealth of continuously updated information on over 700 stallions. The app is free and works with both phones and tablets. Download the app today or go to globalstallionsapp.com to learn more. And we're back to continue the discussion of the Fountain of Youth Day with Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. He's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillips' first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeders Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
Spendthrift Stallion, Wicked Strong. The fastest Wood Memorial winner in a decade with a final time of 1:49 1/5, earning a 1:04 buyer speed figure, faster than any Wood Memorial winner in recent years, including Frosted, Verrazano, Gemologist, and Outwork. Hardspun's best son, Wicked Strong, bred 190 mares in 2016, second only to American Pharoah among freshman sires. His first foals are arriving now. Wicked Strong, standing at Spendthrift.
Not since Danzig has a stallion seen this much early success. He's not just setting records. He's making history. The best start at stud ever. Uncle Mo, the momentum continues.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
No More Rich Blondes is fighting back. No More Rich Blondes. Again, more than a length in front of Complimenti. Midnight Chicken battling on at the end, but No More Rich Blondes wins the Oaks.
No More Rich Blondes scored impressively in the UAE Oaks in Dubai this past weekend, making the daughter of Darley Stallion Hard Spun your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. No sire in North America has more graded winners than Hard Spun in 2017, and only Tappet has more total black type winners this year. Grade 1 winners include Eclipse Champion Questing, Arlington Million winner Hardest Core, along with Hard Not to Like, Hard Aces, and Smooth Roller. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Leparu getting serious on Classic Empire. He's asking him for his best, but he's still two lengths off the lead. Canavera to his outside, and they turn for home in the Holy Bull. An Irish war cry set down for the drive by Joel Rosario and maintains a two-length lead. And he's strong up front. Canavera can only watch and wonder from second, then Classic Empire third. Well back to the others, but the Holy Bull to Irish war cry. Gate to wire. Canavera second, Classic Empire third. Talk Logistics ran fourth ahead of Cavill, who completes the high five in 1:42 and 2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, our producer Lee Delapina, is back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Mike Nyman, director of marketing at Gulfstream Park, is positioned in South Florida. So let's head back to the United States and spend a little time talking with Mike. You heard the rejoin clip of Irish War Cry winning the Holy Bull. Pete Aiello had the call. And Irish War Cry, the likely favorite in this afternoon's Fountain of Youth, but that is not the only big race on the card today. What an afternoon at Gulfstream Park. Mike, I have to tell you, we miss being there with you at Gulfstream, but being here in Barbados is a pretty good consolation prize, my friend.
Yeah, with the flying fish, I guess, no less.
I didn't go near it, Mike. I didn't touch it.
I heard that. But I think I'll have to go with Jude on that one. If I was down there, I'd be going with the fish also.
Yeah, it's the best down here. You would love it.
Sounds like an afternoon.
It sounds like a great day there. I mean, I've been listening to the show this morning, and the interviews have been really interesting and sounds, you know, really cool. I've never really kind of focused in on that at all. But, you know, now that you guys are involved in it, I said, hey, that's interesting. I got to hear what's going on down there. And it sounds like it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, thanks. It's very much like a Kentucky Derby type scene where you have the infield packed with tents and you have the paddock area, which is actually more of a Kentucky Oaks type scene with all the pink signage of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. And the cool thing is here, Mike, they run clockwise, so it's the opposite of the United States. And this is only a 6-furlong turf course, kind of a European egg-shaped style, so that makes it a little bit different. They go 1.5 times around to get the mile and an eighth, a little different than Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about you last night, Mike. If you retire from Gulfstream sometime, you should move down here and market this place. You would have a field day. I mean, you would make this place run like a top.
Hey, don't tempt me. You never know.
Well, just a little something for you to keep in mind.
I like that. Maybe I'll have to join you guys next year.
Yeah, I'd love for you to see this place because you, with all your good ideas, you'd really come up with some things for Garrison Savannah.
Well, Mike, tell us about Gulfstream Park. What's happening back at Gulfstream?
So today, of course, it's Fountain of Youth Day, as everybody knows, but what people may not realize is that, of course, you know, we always talk about our signature day, Florida Derby, but today, this is our biggest day as far as graded stake races. We have eight graded stakes, grade 2 and grade 3 stakes. So, of course, you know, the Fountain of Youth gets all the steam and all the buzz today, but the whole card is just an amazing from the first race all the way on to the Fountain of Youth, which will go as race 13, the last race today. We're going to have a huge crowd, great weather again today in South Florida. You know, we'll have probably somewhere in the 70s, so it won't be, you know, too hot. So it'll be nice and perfect. We had a little cool front come through here yesterday, and you know, sets it up for a great weekend here. And just to mention to the fans that are down here tomorrow, we have our beach towel giveaway. So you come on out, you purchase a program, and you'll get yourself a beautiful beach towel. It's one of the nicest giveaways we've had, and I know people are going to be really happy with it, proud to get it.
Mike, I see you have a pretty big carryover in the Rainbow Six today as well. That always adds a bit of intrigue to what we're going to see on Fountain of Youth Day.
Yes, it's been great. The pool is, it's been hit several times already during the meet for some really good jackpots. And again, today it's got some steam in it, but we're guaranteeing it today, I believe, at $400,000. So that should be great. And again, it's been really popular, all these guaranteed bets on Saturday, and of course our late pick 4 and late pick 5. And the late pick 5, I believe, late pick 4 is at 600,000 today, and 400,000 on the late pick 5. So, you know, it's just a great day that they've put together here. These are the days that we relish here at Gulfstream Park, and it's going to be the Fountain of Youth is going to be a great race. You got a lot of really good horses in there, and you know, obviously Irish War Cry is the favorite off the Holy Bull, but there's a lot of good horses in this race, and I think the seahorses like Gunavera, who ran really well in the Holy Bull, should show up today. And I'm even looking for Three Rules, who won a lot of races here at Gulfstream before getting beat at the Breeders' Cup, and I think maybe he can come back and show something today.
And this race being the final prep for the Florida Derby, it really bodes well for the Florida Derby if all these horses can come back. And, of course, you'll get a few new shooters from around the country because the Florida Derby is such a prominent race on the Derby trail. It should be just outstanding moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we just it's going to be everything is you know, pointed now. We got 4 weeks till the Florida Derby, and, you know, it's our biggest racing day. Of course, you know, I guess I always have to mention the Pegasus now. But as far as our, you know, our championship meet and, you know, Florida Derby is the pinnacle. And we'll be sold out as we always are. Our tickets are going fast. So anybody that's still interested in coming in for the Florida Derby, whether you're out of town or here locally, I wouldn't wait. Either, you know, call Gulfstream Park box office at 954-457-6201, or you can go on our website, gulfstreampark.com, and purchase tickets there. There's still, I think the grandstand is pretty well almost sold out, and I know there are some seats left in Ten Palms and possibly in the simulcasting room, but as I said, we'll be probably pretty much sold out the next couple of weeks, though they still have the good value for those who like to be in our Sport of Kings room, which is a beautiful simulcasting theater. It's a $50 ticket and includes a barbecue lunch with it. So those are still available, and that's the best value, you know, to recommend out there to all the fans.
Mike, you mentioned the word sold out, and, you know, so often we hear negative things about horse racing and racetracks can't get people there. Well, you don't have that problem. You've done a tremendous job of bringing people to Gulfstream Park. The numbers are up yet again this meet. What's the secret? What's the key outside of the good weather and the great racing? Is there something else involved?
Well, I'd like to say it's the marketing. You know, what else can I tell you? You know, the branding on Gulfstream is very strong. I mean, you can see it in the numbers. You know, when I came here 6 years ago, during the winter, Gulfstream was the number three signal, New York and Santa Anita pretty much were the one and two signals during the winter, and Gulfstream would be a strong third. Now we're the number one signal, not only, you know, during the winter, but, you know, nationally we're 17% of the U.S. handle now. It was about 10% or less than that when I started here. So Gulfstream is definitely has really grown. I think the Rainbow Six has been a big part of that. Fans love it. They love our, you know, our racing and our card. And I just think the commitment from the Stronach group and Frank Stronach, who's totally committed to racing, as everybody knows, and just the whole crew of people you get to work with, Tim Ritvo and PJ Campo, and so all horse people. So, you know, they're going to do what's best for the game, for the horses, for the horsemen, and for the fans alike. And as you see that, you know, somebody had told Tim, I guess, that, you know, not too long ago, hey, we'd like to see it to go to the pick three at 50 cents. And sure enough, he heard the fan. And a few weeks ago, we reduced the play from $1 to 50 cents. And, it, of course, that's become very popular as well. So it's just a lot of moving parts here. I think here in South Florida, we've mainstreamed the business. We've tried to go shoulder to shoulder with our major sports leagues. It's tough, as I mentioned, in a market like this, but we've been very successful in getting the local media to cover racing. And I think that's very important here for us locally. And, you know, nationally, it's always important for us, you know, to continue to keep our brand out there and, you know, to push that and give the fans and, you know, and the horsemen what they need to be successful and make the game go the way it needs to.
Talking with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, if I may, I want to give you one piece of marketing advice. Not that you need it, but I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there to you. I don't know if you've had
That's
the chance
okay.
to meet the big A, Anthony Stabile, who was there to anchor our coverage this afternoon of the Fountain of Youth Stakes. But here's my tip to you. Whatever you do, do not let him near that buffet in Ten Palms. If you want to continue the upward trend with everything at Gulfstream, keep him away from that buffet if at all possible.
Okay, I'll tell him to hang by the hot dog cart instead.
Perfect.
I hope they ordered extra hot dogs.
our hot dogs are great here.
They are. They're fantastic. I love them.
One of my favorites, actually, yes.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for everything. We'll remind people that they can tune in to our coverage this afternoon. It kicks off 3 Eastern, Sirius XM 83, and streaming at horseracingradio.net. And, by the way, going to be broadcast in Spanish, all presented by Gulfstream Park. That coverage in Spanish with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Villalma coming up at 3 Eastern on HRRN and Espanol.com. So, Mike, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for everything, and we will look forward to getting back down there with you soon.
Great seeing you guys, and I guess you'll be here for the Florida Derby, so we will meet up then.
Wouldn't miss it. We'll see you then. Thanks, Mike.
Take care, guys. Enjoy yourselves.
Mike.
Mike Nyman, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, great day. That carryover into the Rainbow Six, Jude, is nearly $140,000. That's going to be a big pot today.
Yeah, it'll be really good, and some nice races, mostly stakes, so it should be a bet to take a look at.
You know, I mentioned the coverage being available in Spanish, as we do with all of our race broadcasts now, or at least the majority of them. HRRN and Espanol.com is where you can listen worldwide. So many people from other countries now, Spanish-speaking countries, are coming to that website to get their information and to get their race coverage in Spanish, and we can't thank them enough. Well, there's another little tidbit that we want to throw out there to you. 10 o'clock Eastern time every Saturday, you can flip over to HRN and Espanol.com and listen to Roberto and Eloy as they bring you Hablando de Ibismo, which is talking racing, and they will bring you that weekly talk show. It's kind of modeled after what we do here on the Equine Forum. You'll hear interviews with jockeys and owners and trainers and discussion of the big races, all in Spanish, coming up every weekend.
Yeah, those guys do a great job, and more and more people from South America and the Caribbean are tuning in to HRN in Espanol and listening to Roberto and Eloy. Just a really good team, and they do an excellent job. They have boundless energy and love our game. So it's great for HRN, and it's great for our sport.
And thanks to Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of that program and of so much of what we do in Spanish on HRN and Espanol.com. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. One final segment, that's the Road to the Kentucky Derby. It's presented by Gainsway. Jude and I will take a look at the Fountain of Youth, the Gotham, and we'll take a look at the Barbados Gold Cup and tell you who we think is going to win here at Garrison Savannah. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family.
at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And now Lariba's coming after True Timber. J-Boy's Echo's under the whip farther back. Apart from the crowd, has lost ground toward the rail. Top of the stretch. Here comes Ella Reeb coming after True Timber and taking charge and taking off by the eighth pole. Ella Reeb opens up by two. True Timber fights on second. J-Boy's Echo on the outside is into third. Apart from the crowd is fourth. Down to the final 16th. And another impressive performance by Ella Reeb. Under the wire to win the Withers by four in the end. True Timber held second. J-Boy's Echo was third. It's tight for fourth. Bonus points or apart from the crowd.
Travis Stone bringing them home in the Withers. That was back on February 4th at Aqueduct. El Ari picking up his fourth consecutive victory, and they've all been by open lengths. He's back as the 6-5 favorite on the morning line in this year's renewal of the Withers, which takes place later today up in New York. But we told you about the Fountain of Youth Stakes taking place at Gulfstream, so we're going to start there as we take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by our friends at Gainesway, home to the perennial leading sire in North America, Tappet. Well, JT, you think about the Fountain of Youth. You have 11 horses. The favorite is likely to be Irish War Cry, who won the Holy Bull for Grand Motion last time out. But Practical Joke for Chad Brown, second choice on the morning line, a horse that figures to be tough as well. It's a pretty well-balanced field, and we're going to find out today just how good Irish War Cry really is.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a fan of Irish War Cry for a while, and everybody knows I love Grand Motion. I think he's one of the finest trainers in the United States. He's also won the Kentucky Derby, so there's a lot of things to like about Irish War Cry, short-term and long-term. Very talented horse. He's got great speed figures. Graham's been effusive in praise for him and in the way that he's training, so I expect him to run a big race. He does have, you know, a little bit of a threat in Practical Joke, who's a very talented horse as well, comes from the Chad Brown stable. Chad's horses always seem to fire fresh. And I think another horse that people are missing out on is Three Rules. This horse is he's a Florida bred, but he's got a lot of talent. He ran super last time out in the Swale. He's 12-1 on the morning line. I think that's way too high. And he might be a horse you want to throw in your try or your exacta just in case he runs as good as he can run.
What'd you do with Beasley in there, a son of Shackelford, who we saw almost pull off one of the biggest upsets that you and I have been part of at Gulfstream Park back years ago?
Yeah, well, Beasley's a good horse too, and Mark Hennig, a good friend of mine, and I'm not sure he's going to run here. He was talking about running in the Tampa Bay Derby, so I don't know.
Gotcha.
What they've decided to do. That's why is he scratched? Okay, Michelle just tells us he's been scratched. This is why we have such a crack team here at HRRN.
Perfect.
And
you're not going to do anything with
him. I'm not going to do anything with him.
Wait till the Tampa Bay Derby.
That's right.
Tecoffel?
Tecoffel really was disappointing last time, and I don't know why. I don't know what excuse he had, but he's going to have a big rebound today. And I would rather take three rolls over him.
One of the cool angles to this year's Fountain of Youth, in my opinion anyways, is that angle with Kieran McLaughlin, who won the race in 2011 with Soldat, won it last year with Mo Heyman. If he can win it for a third time, if Tecoffel can pull off the upset today, he would join his mentor, Dwayne Lucas, at the top of the list with three Fountain of Youth victories. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is cool, and it would be a nice thing for him to do. And it's not impossible. I mean, the horse ran so badly last time, and he's running back. So, I mean, whatever happened, it couldn't have been that transforming, and hopefully he can rebound because he is a talented horse.
And the Fountain of Youth, as we told you earlier, race number 13. It's the Express Bet Fountain of Youth, grade 2, 400,000, set for 6:05 Eastern. It's all part of our coverage. You'll hear it live exclusively with us this afternoon as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by the FTBOA. You can tune into that coverage beginning 3 Eastern, Sirius XM channel 83. That's a channel change, channel 83 this afternoon, and horseracingradio.net. All right, Pontifit Aqueduct, the Gotham is the signature event for the three-year-olds this afternoon. 300 grand, mile and a 16th, and all eyes in here on El Carib.
El Arib.
Arib. What did I say? Carib?
Carib.
I keep wanting to do that. Didn't I do it all week when we were talking about the horses you were preparing?
You're in the Carib.
Yeah.
So.
Right there, yeah. There you go. El Arib.
El Arib is also a very talented horse. He's on a great roll. His last race was excellent. He's got a big chance today. Let's face the facts. He's 6-5 on the morning line. We touched on this with Anthony earlier. True Timber, I thought, ran very well against El Arib last time. He's got speed, but he's better when he's held up. I think he'll get a more patient ride today. I think he's got a chance to pull the upset. The other horse that I think is interesting is the horse on the rail, J-Boy's Echo. And he's a horse that's improving for Dale Romans. You can never count Dale out. He always seems to pop up with a Derby horse. And this horse looks well on his way. He's a son of Mineshaft and should improve with distance and racing, which he's doing. So we'll see what happens. I just got a message from our man John Koziak. He said, don't be shocked if Kieran wins both preps today.
Boom. Wow.
And he's busy scouting baseball players, but he always keeps an eye on the form.
See if he can pick a few good ones out for the New York Yankees. I think they could use some help.
Yeah, definitely. Although Patrick Husband's grandfather was sporting his Yankees cap this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Know what I kept calling him all week? El Kabir.
El Kabir.
I kept doing that all week. I kept messing that up. Yeah, El Arib in the grade 3 Gotham today. Post time 4:50 Eastern at Aqueduct. Well, back here in Barbados, it's a pretty big day, too. We told you it's much like a Kentucky Derby-type setting with the tents and the canopies in the infield and the flags all lining the paddock area. And the Gold Cup banners are all in pink, which looks more like Kentucky Oaks Day. It's pretty cool. We are right up at the top of the grandstand looking over the finish line. Going to be in the low 80s today. The turf is going to be firm for that mile and an eighth test. Jude, Ken Ramsey has a couple of horses here in the Barbados Gold Cup. One likely to be the favorite. That's number 3, Keystone for Victory. He also has number 7, High Noon Rider, in this afternoon's race.
Yeah, Keystone for Victory, probably going to be the favorite. They don't put a morning line out in Barbados. That's good for the fans. And, you know, he's a talented horse. He's has improving speed figures and looks like he's, you know, certainly got a big, big chance. High Noon Rider's kind of been the buzz horse on the backside. Everybody likes the way he looks. He's got a nice rider in Rafael Hernandez on him, a guy that wins a lot of races for Mike Maker. So they're serious about him. A horse that caught my eye this week in the mornings is Conquest Bespoke. And he's a five-year-old gelding by Spitestown out of Medaglia d'Oro mare, and he looks really, really good in the mornings. He comes off a second-place finish in the Gold Cup in Trinidad. He's one of the Trinidad representatives, and he's lightly raced, but he's a good horse.
Yeah, two horses representing Trinidad in this year's Gold Cup. You have Conquest Bespoke, and you have Trini Navigator, and we caught up with his owner, Bhaskaram Basau, yesterday. Had a chance to talk to him for a little bit. That was a fun visit. He's one of the leading owners in Trinidad. But, Jude, when you look at what Trinidad has had to overcome in this race, they haven't won the Gold Cup since 1988 when Call to Account galloped to the victory. So they have some things historically that they're going to have to overcome, but they bring a couple of good ones into this year's race.
Yeah, absolutely. And last year the ownership of Dorset is from Trinidad, so they're kind of counting that one.
Yeah, they are. They are.
And those guys are all back here with a passion, and this year they brought their wives. They came by themselves last year, but now the ladies are with them, so they're hoping for a big party after
tonight. They've been here for an hour.
Yeah.
They arrived about an hour ago. They were some of the first connections that we saw walk into Garrison Savannah, so they're ready. What do you make of the defending champion, Dorset?
I really like him. You heard in our interview earlier with Robert Pierce that he's the soundest he's been in a long time since last year's Gold Cup, Robert said. He ran very well last time. He looks like he's coming up to the race in good order. We know he loves this course. You know, he's a very talented horse, and there's no reason he can't win.
Any chance Daunting David could pull it off, or Sir David Seal, the leading owner in Gold Cup history?
Well, you know, we love Sir David Seal. He's one of the nicest men you'd ever meet in your life, and we got to talk with Elizabeth Dean, and I fell in love with her instantly, too. So I would love to see them do well. He's not going to get his preferred soft ground, so he's going to have to overcome that. But anything can happen.
Yeah, you have a couple of other cool storylines and human interest stories surrounding this year's Gold Cup. Number 6, Infrared, is a son of Discreetly Mine out of a street cry mare bred in the USA. He is owned by brothers Dan and Martin Raisman. And, Jude, he's ridden by Rocco Bowen. Now, if you don't know the name Rocco Bowen, there are many people in the United States that I'm sure do, especially out on the West Coast. He's a 28-year-old Bayesian-born rider who won the riding title at Portland Meadows last year. And he talked about, you and I were talking earlier about the banners, the pictures that you see when you walk into customs after you get off the plane here at the Barbados Airport, being Patrick Husbands in the Ramsey Silks winning the Gold Cup, and being Rihanna, who is one of the, you know, top superstars here in Barbados. And he said, you know, I come through the airport and I see those pictures, and being somebody from Barbados, I'm hoping one day I can join them. Well, he's very talented. Last year, winning that jockey title at Portland Meadows, he became the first Bayesian board jockey ever to win a title in the United States. So, good rider.
Yeah, he's a good rider and evidently a good guy. My friend Joe Steiner asked me if I'd go say hello to him between races, because Joe really likes him a lot. They're good friends from the Pacific Northwest. So, looking forward to meeting him today. But, you know, that horse, he hasn't been in the best of form, but Rashid Hughes has been riding him, and he was the champion rider here last year, so he must have some ability.
Did you take a look at Knight Rider, who is going to be number 2 in the field this year? Knight Rider is going to race in the pink and blue colors of Mrs. Gay Smith, who is the wife of owner Derek Smith. They are residents of Barbados, Jude, and this is a horse that comes back for a third start in the Gold Cup, being off the board in 2014, third in 2015, now hoping to pull off a victory this year.
Yeah, well, Knight Rider, you know, you can never count out Gay Smith. I mean, she's always got live horses for this race, and Knight Rider certainly has a chance. I think the inside draw might help him a little bit, and we'll see what develops, but his record in this race is not terrible, and it wouldn't be a total shock to see him in the winner's.
All right, so let's put you on the spot then. We only have a few minutes left here in the program before we have to wrap it up. Who is your top pick to win this year's Barbados Gold Cup?
I'm going back to the well with Dorset. I just, after our interview with Robert Pierce and the way that horse ran last time and how he's coming up to the race, I think he's going to do it again. I just have a gut feeling.
Well, if you're wondering about horses who have won the race in consecutive years, only Sanford Prince in 1991 and 92 was able to do that. And then, of course, the great Blast of Storm, who has a statue in the paddock here. He won the race in 2000, 2001, and 2002.
Yeah, Sally Areeb's horse. And you and I took a nice photo out there earlier this week that was posted on Twitter. And it's a beautiful statue and really makes you know you're at Garrison Savannah.
Well, we told people throughout the program, we've told you multiple times, that our coverage this afternoon is going to be 3 o'clock Eastern time, and you're going to hear the Gold Cup, you're going to hear the Fountain of Youth, many of the races on the undercard at Gulfstream as well, including the McDermida and the Devona Dale. 3 Eastern, SiriusXM Channel 83, that's 83 this afternoon, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net, and in Spanish, HRRN en Espanol.com. We're also going to cover the parade, which is going to take place right below, right before the Gold Cup.
Yeah, well, that's an event. That's one of the highlights of Gold Cup Day.
I remember last year you told me about it, but I hadn't experienced it. You had. I didn't realize exactly what a spectacle this day was going to be and how much different it was from anything we see in the United States. But that parade, it's like a Rose Bowl parade without the floats.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there were people doing somersaults down the turf course where they're going to run the race. There were people holding up flags of different nations. It was really cool.
Yeah, there are people on stilts, dancing girls, the whole nine yards. It's really part of the day, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be a great, great afternoon of racing. Gorgeous day here in Barbados, as you would come to expect. The flags are flying. The infield is full. First post coming up in just about a half hour, so the grandstand is now beginning to fill up. Many of the owners are in their boxes and the suites and getting set for what promises to be an amazing afternoon of thoroughbred racing here in the Caribbean. Don't forget, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, SiriusXM 83, horseracingradio.net, and HRRN in Espanol, your home for all that coverage later today. JT, we do want to say some thank yous to everybody who helped make this broadcast possible, including Rosette Pierce and Ross Waterman here at the Barbados Turf Club, Petra Roach with the Barbados Tourism Association, and visit barbados.org. We appreciate all their support of what we do throughout the year as well. Our thanks to all of our guests who took the time to do interviews with us this week, including Patrick Husbands, Ken Ramsey, Robert Pierce, Nolan Ramsey, Elizabeth Dean, Jose Ortiz, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who joined us from Florida, Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. They're all here. You can check out the podcast, horseracingradio.net. Listen at your leisure, and also on iTunes, Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yep. It was a great show.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and go back and check it out. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for Michelle Penna here on site, and for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, what the heck? From the Caribbean, go Steelers.
Gold Cup Day. Good night, Barbados.